And welcome to another edition of The History Quine with me, Fiona Jane Brown. This week we're continuing our urban legends and kind of following on from last week's podcast on William Wallace, we are speaking about another very famous Scot from history, Robert the Bruce.
Just 3 years after Wallace's death, Robert the Bruce basically came back. He came out of exile and established himself as king properly. I want to have a look at the story of Bonacord, our motto. This is kind of the short version, and also the story about what happened to Aberdeen Castle, because we're all aware of Castlegate. It's still called Castlegate, whether the street sign actually says Castle Street, we all call it Castlegate. And everybody that's been on a tour with me will know that Castle Hill stands just up above the Salvation Army Citadel. In fact, the citadel is just at the base of where the hill would have been, because the hill's a lot shorter now. So, Bonacord is the city motto that appears on our coat of arms. Aberdeen's coat of arms wasn't officially recognised by the court of the Lord Lyon until 1674. Now, Lord Lyon, current Lord Lyon, Joseph Morrow, he is the man that decides who gets coats of arms in Scotland. It's the College of Arms in England. It's a completely separate thing. But Lord Lyon basically is as important as a monarch of Scotland would have been. 1674, we've got our coat of arms officially recognised. And then 6 years later, in 1680, Scottish heraldist Sir George Mackenzie tells the story behind the motto, which is accepted by later historians. This is what Mackenzie wrote. "The word Bonacord was given them by King Robert the Bruce for killing all the English in one night in their town, their word being that night Bonacord, i.e. the password to attack." So, first question, did the siege of Aberdeen Castle happen? We think it happened in 1308, round about June, because that's 2 months after Bruce had just defeated his mortal enemy, John Cummin, the Earl of Buchan. Back to that in a moment. Now, Aberdeen Castle had been occupied from 1296 by English garrison, and that was headed up by Sir Gilbert de Peche. Peche was, I presume, Spanish with a name like that, but he was in the English court anyway, and he had been made constable of the castle. And we actually know that the castle was built of granite, certainly stone, whether it was granite or not, I presume it was, because the first time we ever hear about the castle in print is in 1264, in a bill of repairs submitted by Richard Mason. Mason has always been believed to have been Aberdeen's first provost, but he was a stonemason. That was his job. And of course, because surnames are kind of a modern phenomenon, that was what he was known as, Richard Cementarius, Richard the Mason. And he put in this bill of repairs for the castle and also billed the castle treasury for 10 casks of ale for his workers. The castle was very important. Aberdeen was extremely important strategically because, one, it was a gateway to the Highlands, and two, it gave access to the Scandinavian countries, our allies in Norway, Denmark and Sweden. Coming back up to the time that we're talking about now, 1308, Bruce had defeated the Lord of Badenoch's cousin, John Cummin, the Earl of Buchan, at the Battle of Barra. Now, Cummin already hated Bruce because Cummin's own wife, Isabella Duff, was the aunt of the Earl of Fife. The Earl of Fife being a teenage boy who had actually been a prisoner in the English court, which is why at the coronation of Robert the Bruce at Scone, Isabella turns up and claims the right of the Duff family to crown the monarch of Scotland, which she actually does. And going back into the story, we remember that Isabella actually told her husband that he was a coward for supporting the English, and she took all of his horses with her when she rode from their property just south of the border and came up to Scone. Now, at that time, John's wife, Isabella, was actually a prisoner as well, because she and quite a few of Bruce's sisters and his own wife, Elizabeth de Burgh, they were actually all prisoners of the English at the time. So it was in Robert's interests to defeat these people and rescue his female allies and relatives. So at Inverurie, he kind of, again, you maybe heard the story that Bruce was really ill, but he said that Finn Cumming got word. He was like, oh, well, this is going to be a walk in the park to defeat them. When Bruce heard that that's what Cumming was saying about him, he jumped out of his bed and said, right, let's go get them, guys. And they did. In the Battle of Barra, which Barra Hill is just outside Inverurie, across country, it will actually take you over to the River Ugi and the hill of Achy Bray. And it said that Bruce's brother, Edward, who was commander of the Scots army at the time, chased the Cumming army and all the stragglers all the way to Achy Bray, burning the land behind them as he went, and slaughtered as many of them as they could. But Bruce had a relapse, so he went to go and stay with his sister in Aberdeen. His sister was married to the master of the mint at the time, so again, fairly well-off lady herself. He goes to stay with his sister. Edward takes the army to go and camp at Fitty Mire. Fitty Mire, of course, being the land between Aberdeen and Fitty, just at the old mouth of the Dee, which was a lot further along than it was today. Now, the Navy, the English Navy, had left Aberdeen at the time. Only the occupying garrison was at the castle. For some reason, Gilbert de Peche, who was supposed to be acting as constable, wasn't there either. So it's just the soldiers and their officers in the castle. Now, the story goes that a local weaver called John Fraser told Edward Bruce of a secret entrance into the castle, and he helped the Scots soldiers get in, and they attacked the English, slaughtered as many of them as they could, not them all, because some of them managed to get away, but according to George Mackenzie, our heraldist, the castle was burned to the ground there and then. Now, there are three 19th century histories of Aberdeen that mention this legend of Bonacord being the password. In 1818, 1822, and in 1839, in a book by Joseph Robertson called The Book of Bonacord, Robertson takes the two other authors to task for repeating the legend he believes was invented by Hector Boyce. Now, Hector Boyce, you might have heard of, he was the first principal of King's College, appointed by Bishop Elphinstone. And he was also a historical chronicler, and he had written a fairly extensive chronicle of about 500 years of Scotland's history. He was also not the most trustworthy of historians, because he's the one who introduced, for the word for introduced, read invented, the story of the witches in Macbeth, just as a deliberate anti-Celtic slur on the powerful House of Murray, which of course was Macbeth's clan. So, did the siege happen? Well, yes, but not the way it was described. It didn't happen until July 1308. It didn't happen right after the Battle of Barra. Certainly early July or late June, it's about some time there. Because in July 1308, and I believe it was about the middle of the month, the English annals record letters that were sent to the captain of the English Navy, a William Le Bettour, who was stationed then at Hartlepool. And de Peche, who, as we know, had deserted his post, both of them were charged to, and I'm quoting now, go to Scotland and aid in the relief of Aberdeen Castle, which is besieged by land and sea. And Edward said that it was certain the affair required haste, so they basically had to get their butts in gear and get up to Aberdeen. So by July, the castle was still standing. Besieged actually from inside, I think. So I wonder if there was any truth in Ogilvy's story about the fishermen attacking the English ships. Maybe it wasn't Wallace or Murray, because they'd been dead by 1308, but maybe these were the supporters of the Scots army that were doing everything to get rid of the English soldiers occupying their castle. They had managed to go, some had obviously managed to escape and besiege the castle. So they were besieging it from the Scots army who had taken it over. So what we can say is that this attack and the siege took place at some point between June and July 1308. And it seems like the Scots were eventually successful because, according to the English records again, by 1309, Edward II commissioned Robert's own father-in-law, Richard de Burgh, to treat with him for peace on the king's behalf. So it sounds like Aberdeen was already back under Scots control by that time. And then in 1311, again, Edward sends royal carpenters to Aberdeen to repair his ships. Presumably, they had been given a pass to come, these carpenters. It meant, the English were still enemies, but they were allowed to come in and repair the naval ships. So that means the naval ships had been attacked at some point. And by 1312, interestingly enough, instead of just Lord Bruce, Edward II was actually referring to Bruce as King Robert. He hadn't done that before. Even though Robert had been crowned since 1306, he hadn't recognised him. The English king had not recognised him. He might have recognised him as a vassal king, but he never said so. So, okay, we know that it was attacked by the Scots. We know it was besieged by the English trying to get it back, and they failed. Did they use Bon Accord as a password? Well, let's have a think, shall we? The phrase common vocabulary in Aberdeen. It was used as a toast by burgesses, magistrates and the provost. And much later on, in one of the 19th century histories, we've got Bon Accord being described as an ancient and courteous usage long practised in the borough towards illustrious guests, which consisted of the magistrates and civic leaders presenting them, that is their guests, with a libation of wine, happily called a cup of Bon Accord. So, John Fraser the Weaver, did he already know this? Was this a common phrase already, a common toast? And he's the one that apparently helped Edward Bruce. Was this cock and a snoot at the English using the city's own motto to actually be a sign for attack? Was it the Aberdeen citizens that used this, not the Scots army? Did Fraser and Bruce agree it as a code between their men on the night? Bon Accord, the actual phrase itself, whether it was an official motto, it was certainly made official after 1430, because the seal, civic seal of Aberdeen, contains the words Bon Accord at that time. So it was certainly obviously well known, and it's just over 100 years afterward that it's a known phrase. So, and this cup of Bon Accord was actually a cup. It was a cup presented to the city in 1622. Whether there'd been other cups before that, I guess there had been, but this was a particular one. And the man that presented it was a London merchant called Thomas Pendlebury. And he was welcomed as a burgess of Aberdeen as well, which meant he could trade without being taxed. So he's obviously very well liked. Perhaps he had relatives up here. Perhaps he'd married an Aberdonian. We don't know. But we know that the cup that he presented was a cup of silver gilt and had the town's arms with their motto, Bon Accord, thereupon. Now, Bon Accord is French. It's not very good French, it's kind of colloquial. It means good agreement or good brotherhood. What I think is very interesting is that in the English army in the early 14th century, you have got your infantry, your Anglo-Saxon rabble infantry, and you've got your Anglo-Norman officer and cavalry class. Anglo-Norman, i.e. a lot of them had either come from Norman families or they'd been born in Normandy in France. French was their first language. French was a language of the English court. It was the first language of Edward I and Edward II. They were from Norman French stock. That dynasty, the Plantagenet dynasty, they came from France. Simple. So, if I was one of those local patriots with John Fraser, I would have said, hey, yeah, let's use a French phrase, because the officers, if they hear somebody speaking French, they're not going to be suspicious because they think we're all ignorant hicks here and they don't know we can speak French as well. It's very likely people, merchants certainly in Aberdeen, would be able to speak French, they'd be able to speak Dutch and German and all the rest of it because of the people we traded with. So it's a fairly good bet that if a password was used between the local patriots and the Scots army, that Bonacord would have been a very good choice, because it being a French phrase, it would have been fairly believable by the English officers that were there. But sadly, folks, we're never going to know why Bonacord ended up being Aberdeen's civic motto, because the time that it was actually supposed to have been accepted as the motto was between that civic seal being created in 1430 and about 16 years earlier, 1440. Unfortunately, that period of time, which would have been covered in our council minutes, that period of time is lost to our knowledge, because that period that was covered by our council minutes, those minutes have disappeared. Yep. Even though our civic records have got World Heritage status, that crucial period of 16 years that would tell us exactly why Bonacord was finally adopted as the city's official motto has gone. We're never going to know, unless it turns up. The last they were heard of is of being in Edinburgh. So, if you find some old books and they say something about Civis Bonacord, it might be ours. But Bonacord, as we know, has been accepted as a motto of Aberdeen since that time, and possibly a way back to the siege of Aberdeen Castle. But sadly, that's one myth we're not actually going to be able to completely prove or disprove. But we certainly had a castle that was pulled down by the Scots soldiers after they'd finally seen off the English occupying garrison. So for today, goodbye.